If you keep your ears open, you will hear that our culture is trying to tell you a story right now. That story, couched in all the language of a commercialized Christmas, is that right now is, as the old song put it, the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. This is the time of year when magic happens and dreams and wishes all come true. It's the time of year when everyone is filled with joy and excitement because you know that people are going to buy you the perfect gift and you are undoubtedly going to buy everybody else the perfect gift and everything is going to work out wonderfully. There's going to be peace and harmony throughout the whole family at Christmas dinner, even though there hasn't been for many years now. And everyone is going to enjoy hearing Uncle Bill tell them the story about how he got that old football injury yet one more time. Now, if you hear some cynicism creeping in here, it's for a good reason. That tale that's being told by our surrounding culture right now is not necessarily accurate. The truth is that for many people, this time of year is a difficult time of year, perhaps even the most difficult time of year. There's a lot of pressure on us because of the narrative we're being told to make Christmas perfect. And so now that we're in the season of building up in that direction, we all feel this pressure to go out and buy perfect presents and to have the perfect dinners prepared. We feel this need to get the perfect Christmas tree and to decorate it just so. And we feel that we've got to find ways to get along with people that we generally just don't get along with in different situations. And then, of course, there's the real reality, because death strikes all the time, that we've got absences and voids in our lives. We've got places where loved ones are missing, and we hurt because of that, and life just doesn't seem normal. That said, there's something a lot more honest about the season of Advent. The season of Advent, as the Episcopal priest Fleming Rutledge wisely reminds us, begins in darkness. This is how Advent begins, in darkness. It begins in darkness because that's where we really all live. We live in places of struggle. We live in places of loss. We live in places of hurt. We live in places where we feel the crushing weight of the law every day telling us that we've failed to measure up to somebody's expectations. We failed to measure up to some societal expectations. We failed to be all that we should be. And we live in the places of recognizing that this world around us that we live in is deeply broken and it's deeply sick. Things aren't as they should be. And you don't need me to convince you of that. All you need to do is look on social media or turn on the news or wherever you get your information and you can see that that is reality. Things aren't as they should be. That's why Advent begins in the dark, because that's real life. This is, in fact, what we see in our Old Testament lesson today. Here in the book of Isaiah, we find the people of Israel living in exile in the land of Babylon. Jerusalem has been sacked, the temple has been torn down, and the people are living in a land that's not their own land, amongst people that are not their kin. Times are dark for the people of Israel. God has promised them deliverance through the prophet. He's promised a return from exile, but they're not there yet. And this is when Isaiah, standing in representation for the people, cries out, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence." What Isaiah and the people of Israel are longing for is for God to rip open the sky and come crashing down out of heaven. They're looking for God to come busting in, if I might be a little lighthearted for a moment, busting in like the Kool-Aid man from the old commercials, just smashing through the wall of human existence to overthrow the current order of things and to bring his kingdom to bear on this world. that cry in the dark that the people of Israel are crying is, put things right, God. Now, this thought, of course, puts Isaiah and the people of Israel into a place of deep honesty about themselves. If they're calling God to come down out of heaven and make his name known to his adversaries, which they are, the truth is, they might find themselves to be his adversaries. They might find out that, in fact, they are his enemies. This is humility, and this is honesty. It is so easy for us human beings to think that everybody else is the problem. It's so easy for us to shift the blame in life. You know, everything is the fault of the Democrats, or everything is the fault of the Republicans, or everything is the fault of this party, or this people group, or that people group, right? But what that ends up being in the end is nothing more than a form of self-righteousness. I'm right, and it's everybody else who's the problem, right? So God, come down, and you need to do something about all these other people. They're the ones that are the trouble. But notice this. After stating that God is the God who works for those who wait for him, and the God who meets those who gladly do right, those who remember him in his ways, Isaiah has to be honest and say, but we're not really those people. We're not really those people who are waiting for you, God, and we're not really those people who are gladly doing right. Instead, Isaiah says, you were angry and we sinned, naming two realities here. And Isaiah then gets to the heart of it all by saying, we have all become like one who is unclean. Not some of us. He doesn't say that group over there has become unclean. He says we have all become unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. This is the ugly truth of human nature as it's exemplified by the people of Old Testament Israel. We might long for God to rip open the heavens and come down and get our adversaries. And if we're honest with ourselves, that is very often what we want to do. But if we truly get down to the heart of it, and this is what Advent is all about. Advent is about being honest about ourselves before God. It's being truthful in our hearts toward God. We have to admit that we, the human race, are the problem. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. This means that we are owning up to the fact that even the good things that we do in life, we do more often than not from a tainted place. We do them from a self-centered place. We do them from a selfish place. We do these things to get noticed by other people. We do them because we'll get praise and accolades for having done some good. We do them because we think that by doing them, we're going to get an extra merit point in God's register, that God's going to look favorably on us and say, great job, I'll tally up another point for you. And yet I want you to notice what Isaiah does. After honestly confessing his sin and the sin of the people of Israel, Isaiah calls on God for mercy. And he doesn't try to excuse everybody's sin by saying things like, well, God, we couldn't help it. We didn't know any better. We had bad parents. They didn't teach us the law the way they should have done, or something of that nature, right? Instead, after honest confession, Isaiah appeals to God's mercy by saying, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hands. And then he says, do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. What Isaiah is doing here, and it's what all good prayers in the Bible are doing, is they turn God back to his promises. We are your people, Isaiah said. You made us. You formed us. You called us to be your own. And now, Lord, forgive us, heal us, make this right. We're the problem, and you need to fix us, Isaiah is saying. This, my friends, is what the season of Advent is all about. It's about recognizing, as Isaiah says elsewhere, that we are a people who walk in darkness, who live in a land of deep darkness. We're broken. We're sin-sick. We need help. We need forgiveness. We need healing. But that starts with us being honest about ourselves before God, and it starts with us being honest about the fact that we are sinners, and it starts with us being honest about the fact that we tend more often towards rebellion against God rather than faithfulness with God. And that's when God says this to us, "I have torn open the heavens, and I have come down in the person of my Son, Jesus Christ. I have rent the heavens, and I have come down into your midst to be one of you, to live among you, to proclaim the word to you, to bring healing and new life to you. And more than that, I've come down into this world to bear your sins for you, so that I might take the condemnation and penalty that your sins rightly deserve on myself, and that I might do what you couldn't do, that I might put those sins to an end fully and finally for you." Jesus says to us that he has become the unclean one. He is like one who is unclean on our behalf, so that we might in fact become clean. That means that you, my friends, are forgiven in full for Jesus Christ's sake. And that means that God now sees you as his righteous people because Christ has given you his righteousness. He sees you as the people who are fully lined up with him now, fully in the right with him now. You are forgiven, you are redeemed, and you are a saved people. And what's more, God says to you, as his people, "My Son is coming again soon, and he's coming to put all things right for you, so wait for him. He's coming to bring all that is good to bear in this world, and he is coming to finally put away all the darkness that we see, not only in our human hearts, but all the darkness that we see in this world around us as well. So while Advent starts in darkness, it is about the fact that the light has broken in and is breaking in and will finally and fully come at the end of time. Even now, as we sit in the midst of darkness, the light has come in Jesus. And we know that when he returns, the light is going to come in full. Then all evil will be put away. So these words of Isaiah actually become a promise to us. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. So we wait. Advent's a season of waiting. And we wait. We wait for him. And while we wait, we say, "Come, Lord Jesus." Amen.